And I promise you, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is good to see you again on this Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday. And we'll get an accurate account in a minute here. You know, I do this, and as Susie's probably mortified, but I am thankful that you allow me to do that. This morning we read from John chapter 20, and I'm going to do that as well. And the message is really in two parts, because I want to focus on the first half of this chapter in John 20 and make a few comments here, because I think there's some very important things to be said. But turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John's gospel was the last of the gospels. The gospels themselves were the last parts of the Bible that were written aside from the book of Revelation. But the gospels, as the disciples were passing away from this earth into glory, they had to write these accounts. And so John, known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, you know, his name is not mentioned in that gospel, but he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so we'll see that in the passage this morning. John chapter 20, I'm going to begin at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Beloved, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. After the day of resurrection, Jesus roamed Galilee for a period of 40 days. Yet in those 40 days, from what we glean from the various accounts in the scripture, it seems that he appeared to his disciples only 10 times. On the first Easter, our resurrected Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene. And then the women who were on the way to tell the disciples about the empty tomb. And then later that day to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and an unnamed follower. And then that evening, Jesus appeared to the disciples minus Thomas. And then 8 days after Easter, he appeared to the disciples plus Thomas. And you remember Thomas the skeptic, and we'll hear a little bit more about that later on. We'll read that portion of it. But Thomas the skeptic would not believe the accounts that the disciples gave unless he saw Jesus with his own eyes and put his hands in the nail prints and his hand in the side. So 8 days after Easter, he finally appeared to the disciples plus Thomas. And then in the ensuing weeks, he appeared to 7 disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And then 500 followers of Jesus at a large gathering. And then on the 40th day after Easter, he appeared to all the apostles at the Ascension. Now, Mark Galley from Christianity Today, he notes that there were only 10 appearances, but these 10 appearances changed history. They demonstrated that Jesus was truly alive, and they opened the apostles' eyes to what God had promised and foretold in the scripture. And you see, they didn't get it right away. They still needed to be taught during those 40 days and then to receive the Spirit by whose power they were able to understand from the Old Testament that these things were prophesied of the Christ who was Jesus. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he lists as of first importance that Jesus was crucified for our sins according to the scripture, and then he was raised from the dead. And this is important. Crucified, raised from the dead. These crucial, essential doctrines of the gospel of Jesus, important. These are of first importance. But you would have thought that if the resurrection was of first importance, that Jesus would have appeared more frequently in those 40 days. Or could it be because of the words that Jesus said to Thomas? What did he say? When Thomas saw Jesus, Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "You have seen and now you believe. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." That is important. You know, the resurrection truly is important, and it was important that all these people see Jesus. And in fact, yesterday we spoke of the resurrection at Libby Hitchner's funeral, and I reminded them of Lee Strobel and his account of seeking to disprove Christianity. You remember, he was the investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and when his wife became a believer, his world was rocked. Thought she had become crazy. She'd drunk the Kool-Aid, and now she's gone off the deep end. And so, at the advice of his editor, he decided he would disprove. He would investigate Christianity, prove it false, and seek to win his wife back. Where should he start, he wanted to know. Well, you disprove the resurrection, and the biblical Christianity will fall like a house of cards. The short of it is, after seeking to focus on disproving the resurrection, Lee Strobel found the resurrection to be true, historically true, and he, by the grace of God, became a believer. One of the things that demonstrated its truthfulness was the accounts give as the eyewitness testimony, or the first eyewitness testimony, is given to that of a woman, Mary of Magdala. Mary receives a bad rap in our day and age. What is she assumed to be? She's assumed to be a prostitute. But she was not a prostitute. She was a woman from whom Jesus cast seven demons. And so she loved Jesus deeply, being released from what was likely, if we were to see her, we were to say that she was mentally unstable. And so Jesus freed her from that bondage, and Mary loved Jesus. And if you read Mark's gospel, Mary and two other women went to the tomb to finish, you know, anointing the body of Jesus. And they wondered, who's going to roll away the stone? That's the image you'll see in the front of your bulletin, those three women there. And of course, they see the body's been removed. So they thought, and Mary is there weeping. And here Jesus first appears to her. Can you think of how tenderly Jesus spoke her name, Mary? And she realized it was her Lord, Rabboni, teacher. And then Jesus commissions her. Think about this. Jesus commissions Mary of Magdala to the task of bringing the gospel message to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. The Lord is raised from the dead. And if you read through especially the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, even the men, when they heard the report of the women, they still did not believe. And here was one crucial fact that Lee Strobel sought proved the truthfulness of the resurrection, because at that time in history, a woman's testimony wasn't even allowed in a court of law. And so the disciples, acting in the cultural context, you know, did not believe the women. What they're saying is nonsense, they believed. And yet it was to a woman that Jesus gave that commission to go and tell the disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. They'll see me again. But you're the first, Mary. You go and bring that message. And so while we ordain only men to office, the office of elder, teaching elder and ruling elder, yet we understand that the commission to go and share the gospel of Jesus is for all of us, even and especially our women. And so we thank you, women, for the way you testify of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Yesterday, it was a very sweet account of Mary's life, Libby's life. Mary Linda, I didn't know that. I knew Mary was the first name. Linda, I didn't realize. And you'll have to tell us, Elaine, how she got Libby. I don't know. You don't know either. Okay. But you know what? It was very sweet where Libby's daughter, Carolyn, she was encouraged to get up and she spoke. She had written a piece of prose and it was signed. I saw it was signed by all Libby's children. And she began, it was something to the effect of this, that many people speak of children being a gift from God. And she said, I'd like to say that our mother was God's gift to us children. She was a blessing to us, and she shared how, though they did not have a whole lot, didn't have a lot of money, fancy cars, but what they had was a house that was a home, and people would flock to that home. It was a place where Jesus was real, and it was a place where people loved to go because they sensed that love. And Carolyn could say that our mother taught us the gospel of Jesus, brought us to church, and it was wonderful. The pastor who was there, I forgot his name, was he at the Methodist Church, Elaine, and the Baptist Church in Newport? And 93, he says, I'm 39, but that was code for 93, he said. And so he enjoyed telling us of how Libby, her husband, and the children would be in worship on Sunday morning. So Mary Hitchner shared with her family and others around the gospel of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this word to us, and we pray that we would be encouraged to give the gospel of Christ as well. May we testify of his resurrection in our hearts and our lives. Father, we come to you and we pray that you would bless Libby's family as they remember Libby and they think about the testimony she gave of Jesus day in and day out, how she rarely complained, O Lord, even in her suffering. And even in her suffering, she would be praying for others who were in need. We thank you for that. Father, we do pray for this broken and fallen world, especially in a day where we see political oppression and tyranny. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the word of God would speak to the heart of magistrates, kings, queens, rulers, senators, congressmen, our president, his advisors, Lord, that all authority they have comes from you, Heavenly Father. It is delegated, and so may they be humbled, Lord, and serve the public even as they serve you, Heavenly Father. We do lift up our hearts to you and pray for our local magistrates, thanking you, Lord, for those gathered at the sunrise service, praying for your grace to be poured out on the city of Bridgeton and outlying areas. Please, Heavenly Father, bring revival, and may it begin with us, we who claim the Lord Jesus Christ. May we truly be repentant of our sins. May we acknowledge that Jesus died for our sins and rose again that we might have life eternal. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege now of lifting up our hearts in prayer. And Lord, you know the needs of your people. You know the need of everyone here. And I pray finally, Lord, for the heart that is filled with doubt, that is filled with the thought that this is not true. I pray, Lord, like you worked in the heart of Lee Strobel, the atheist who sought to disprove Christianity, and you brought him to true faith in Jesus. Lord, work in those hearts today, that they might know the truth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. Lord, this we ask in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.